Friends, I am reeling from the words of Scripture today. Reeling, laid low, puzzled, confused, a little bit angry. They're very difficult words and stories. We just heard a very hard to understand story, and today I'm not going to dwell on it very long. I've talked about that the last time we came to this parable, and I'd like to post my sermon from 3 years ago for your reference, so you can look to the website for a more extended discussion of that story. For today, though, it's all the words of judgment that we are coping with here. I mean, as we said, the gospel is hard enough. It tells of this hapless slave who is stripped of everything and thrown into some kind of outer darkness, where it's said that there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Terrible image. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, speaks of the day of the Lord coming like a thief in the night. A thief, in other words, come to harm and destroy. The psalmist trembles before God's anger and wrath. And Zephaniah the prophet, oh Zephaniah, the worst of all to this morning, he seems positively to relish in describing this terrible day of the Lord that is coming upon the people. He says it will be a day of distress, anguish, ruin, devastation, darkness, and gloom, and war. It's going to be filled with clouds and thick darkness. And again, from all this, I am reeling this morning. I don't feel like I need this. In 2020, I don't feel like I need to have any description of the day of the Lord but what I can find every day in the news headlines. I mean, Jesus, noting the harsh ways of the world, observed that to all those who have, more will be given, but from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. Last July, Forbes magazine reported that while millions of unemployed Americans poured their cups of coffee and started searching for jobs online, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos saw his net worth grow by $13 billion, the largest intraday jump in net worth. At the height of the pandemic, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Warren Buffett, the most famous names of today's class of billionaires, collectively witnessed their already incredible wealth increase by $101.7 billion between March 18th and June 17th. To those that have, more will be given, and to those that have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. This morning, CBC reports that as COVID-19 relief programs wind down, bankruptcies are starting to spike again. Day of the Lord is in the morning news. The psalmist laments fragile human mortality. And as of yesterday, Alberta shattered its record for daily new cases of COVID-19. At 1,026 new cases reported, 401 people in our province have died of the disease so far. And the rest of us do our best to shelter in place and take what measures we can. The day of the Lord is in today's headlines. As for Zephaniah's distress, anguish, ruin, devastation, and gloom, I don't even need to read the headlines. I just have to listen to the stories of members of our own community over the past months. Distress, anguish, ruin. The day of the Lord is right here present. I don't think there can be any question. The day of the Lord that Scripture describes is now. We are living through it. We are in it. Now, please don't misunderstand me here. I do not say that COVID-19 pandemic is some kind of judgment from God for our sins. I do not say that illness and death are visited by God to punish us. The financial distress that so many are experiencing is not God's frown on their moral character or God's punishment for their sins. It's the oldest human mistake to attribute to God the things that we do. It's called idolatry. We are the ones who pass judgment on others and make moral judgments and extend punishment. And in our imagination, we think that God is the same as us. And so if there's something really big, it must be a really big punishment from a really big, powerful entity, God. It's idolatrous. God is merciful. God is compassionate. And these things that we see around us are not God's punishments. But we can still say it is the day of the Lord. To say that we're living through the day of the Lord is only to say that we are experiencing our frailty, our mortality, and our fragility more acutely than ever. To say that we are certainly living through the day of the Lord is to say that we are experiencing great upheaval and disruption in our personal and our societal lives. It is the day of the Lord. It's not that the upheavals are God's judgment for our sin. But if we choose, we can make this a time of reflection on our moral and spiritual lives. If we choose, anything can be an alarm clock to wake up. In light of our new awareness of the shortness and preciousness of life, have we been living as we would most want? Have we been making choices for gratitude and love and generosity? If our answer is no, could we start now? The day of the Lord is a time for reflection, a new awareness, and waking up. That's what Paul says to the Thessalonians today, doesn't he? It's time to wake up and live in the light. It's worth reading it again. Thessalonians, Paul says, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you." And that's true. We don't need anything written or spoken to us about how the day of the Lord is crashing down all around us. You know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, he says. When they say there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come on them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. And isn't that how it's been? We live our lives and COVID-19 comes out of the blue. Feels like out of the blue. And there's no escape. Note Paul's metaphor. Like Jesus in the Gospels, he says the day of the Lord is like labor pains. I'm told that's really hard and really painful. So this is not a man who is going to downplay what it means to go through labor. But remember the end. remember the result of that labor. It's joy, it's new life, it's blessing. At the end of the day of the Lord is renewed life. Paul says, "You, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness." Paul reminds the Thessalonians, as he reminds us today, who we are. Children of the light, people who have all along been practicing kindness and generosity and love and compassion and all those things that I've sometimes called giraffe consciousness. That's who you are. That's who Jesus has called you out in your baptism already to be. But Paul says it's possible to fall asleep. It's always possible to fall asleep. Let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. Let this time, this day of the Lord that is around us, be an alarm clock to wake up and continually wake up and be sober, Paul says. Now, I take that sobriety not to be a message of strictness and sternness, but to be people who are conscious, who are aware, who are serious about life. Be sober. Be aware. Since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Faith, hope, and love. The things that endure, as Paul says elsewhere. The things that carry us through times exactly like this. Faith and hope and love. Let us renew our commitment to putting on this armor. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Isn't that a beautiful expression of grace? Whether we're awake or asleep, God has called us. We are not destined for wrath. Paul does not make the mistake of the idolater who thinks that God is frowning and judgmental and filled with wrath. Paul says, no, that's not the destiny. That is not the ultimate end here. That feels like what might be going on around us. But God's work is always to bring us to salvation in Christ Jesus. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. It has been such a gift in these last many months of pandemic to be in this community, in this place, and to witness not only the stories of heartache and sorrow, but more importantly and beautifully, the stories of connection and love and generosity. As indeed you are doing. Keep doing that, Paul says. Connect, care for one another. Now is the time more than ever to pick up the phone and call, to be in touch. The darkness is around us. The winter is getting harder. We may feel that more strict measures are coming down around us, and they seem to be going that direction. So now, more than ever, is to let this be an alarm clock, to practice generosity, to nurture our connections with one another, as indeed you are already doing. To God alone be the glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is coming soon. Amen.